Well, good evening. And on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, we would like to welcome you to our Thursday night live stream service here at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe, where we are normally going through the Old Testament, conducting our line-by-line teaching through the Bible. But tonight, we will be conducting a topical study. And before we begin, why don't we have a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, tonight's one of those nights, Lord, where I need to lean on you really, really heavy. And I pray that you would just take control of every word. And may it penetrate the minds and hearts of us all. And Lord, bless this time that we have together. And everyone who would hear it, no matter their background or belief, would come to you or be stronger witnesses because of it. It's a serious message. We all need to hear it, and may we all take heed to it. I thank you now, and I ask that you would go before me in the strength of your might. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. So tonight, our study is titled Reserved Judgment. And unlike any other teaching that I've done in this study, I want to look at what the Word of God says in regards to Him enacting judgment on the wicked, because that judgment is reserved for Him to do alone. And He is just, a loving God, but a just God. Today, it is very hard to watch what we have going on here in America. In fact, the entire world. It's so perverted. Man's depravity level knows no end and has no bounds. We are witnessing murder on a global scale because of the evil and demonic hearts of man. Evil is in every sector of life today. And it's almost like evil is saying, I dare you to try and stop me. It would seem that wickedness itself must be close to its apex. And even though we as Christians, we know how all of this ends, I still find myself in disbelief on how nearly the entire globe can be so deceived and so wicked. And to think that this is just the beginning of that deception. This world is going to face a great deception, greater than the one we have in front of us today. The deception is real. And there is only one way to avoid being deceived, and that's to know the truth. And the truth is none other than Jesus the Christ. His word speaks to this about not being deceived on several occasions. This one captured here in the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 4, as the word of God reads, "And Jesus answered and said to them," speaking of his disciples, "take heed that no one deceives you." Take heed that no one deceives you. Deception comes via lies. And the father of lies is the devil. And the devil is the most wicked, spiritual, dark power who was a murderer from the beginning and has the entire world under his influence. He is the chief deceiver, the embodiment of evil, and the promoter of all wickedness. These are just some of the attributes associated with the devil, and we can spend our whole time tonight talking about how dark and wicked he is. But the point is, he is the prince agent who deceives the whole world. He knows that his fate is sealed and that his judgment cannot be reversed, because it is written, the scriptures cannot be broken. And all of those who align themselves with Satan will face this type of judgment that has been reserved for the wicked and our God to administer. And let me be clear. All of those who are not connected to the true and living God are wicked. All. And face this judgment to come. And we as Christians, we have to have the proper mindset regarding the wicked. And we can't let our emotions get the best of us as if we're better in a sense. That's a problem. We still need to be praying for the wicked, shining our light towards the wicked, despite how we feel. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 33 and verse 11, the word of God reads, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?" No pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn from being evil. Turn from the wickedness and live. This should remind us of the heart of the true and living God. He is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And we would do well to remember that. And only God could be so loving. We can't forget also that many of us he was long-suffering towards. I know, for me, wicked, wicked, wicked. Praise God that he was long suffering. And I'm so thankful. And as I said before, I realized that everybody who's apart from the Lord is considered wicked. Sometimes, though, some people and organizations and nations are so wicked. It seems unjust that they are even allowed to be tolerated. I mean, so wicked that praying for them can be viewed as a waste of time, in a sense. At least, that's how I feel sometimes. I'm just being honest. That's what happens when I get in my feelings. Praying for them? But I know that I still must pray for them, while at the same time exposing them, as well as warning them of their end if they do not repent and stop rebelling against the true and living God. We talked on Sunday about death and how among non-believers, 75% of them claim to not have any major issue with dying. But according to the Word of God, the true word from the truth himself, every so-called good but yet evil, wicked little heart should be very concerned about their death if they are not in Christ Jesus. God's judgment is real. We see the lake of fire. That's the end result. Death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. But hell is first. That's what comes to those who are not in Christ Jesus, and if they die. And the only thing that you will be looking forward to is a better compartment in hell. That's it. Absent Christ Jesus, that's it. And based on the scriptures, there's no part of hell that's without torment. Many books try to illustrate the various degrees of punishment and levels in hell. Dante's Inferno is one of them. But no one can describe the horrors associated with hell in any detail. And even those who said they died and went to hell often come back with stories that are non-biblical. For example, they speak about Satan being down there administering punishment, or that they saw him sitting on a throne in hell. That's not true. That is not biblical. God is in charge of who goes to hell, and he is in charge of managing that punishment. It is God, not Satan. In the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 7 and 8, the Word of God reads, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." No one should give credit to the devil for administering any type of punishment associated with God's judgment. The devil does not have that type of authority. And whatever power and influence the devil does have, it's allowed by God. And in his word, we are told the difference between the character of good that can only come from God and the characteristics of evil that comes from everyone not connected to God. And when it comes to the ultimate judgment of our souls, all of us at some point will be resurrected to an eternal state and judged justly by God. All of this type of judgment is reserved for the Lord. We talked earlier about being deceived because of the acceptance of lies instead of the truth. And then from those lies, wickedness abounds. So tell me what happens when a so-called good group of people who work within a so-called good organization, within a so-called good nation filled with freedoms and opportunities, begin to accept lies. What happens? Wickedness abounds. That's what happens. And we see this going on today at a level that I have never seen. Blatant lies accepted. And there is a byproduct of having all of this wickedness prospering. In the book of Matthew, also in chapter 24, but this comes from verse 12, the word of God reads, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Do we see the byproduct? Lawlessness increases, love decreases. The love of many will grow cold, have little to no feelings for others. And the way that the word love is being used here is in the sense of brotherly love. That charity for one another. That would be removed. And most people will only care about themselves. Is this not the state that we see developing here in America? All of this is from accepting lies and rejecting the truth. And you know, I really feel sorry for those few truth holders that are on the front lines in many areas of our society today, barely holding on to their job, having to work with so many colleagues that are accepting lies. And they're right next to them. They accept policies and practices that aid and or are lawless. And you know what they do? They place it all under the banner of ethics and receiving orders from higher authority. This is how they can all just say, "I was just doing my job." Ethics too often means absolutely nothing, because ethics too often do not have any absolute truth. There's no absolute truth. Tell me this. How do you know what direction is absolutely right? How do you know? And if you don't know what direction is absolutely right, how is it that we are not seeking out the absolute truth? And here is a telltale sign to know that you do not know what the absolute truth is. It's when you can make statements such as this: I am just doing my job. I am only following orders. Even in the military, we see that happening today. When I was in the military, it told us, do not follow unlawful orders. We follow the Constitution. That was founded on Judeo-Christian values. And those values never change. And there's no problem with the values today. The problem is the fact that they're no longer being followed because they have put ethics over top of them. And those ethics that used to align themselves with these absolute truths have been changed in order to fit the values of the father of lies. Very subtle at first, but now it is what it is. It has become the very backbone of our country. The death of the truth. You know what's sad? Is that those very people, organizations, and nations who suppress and attempt to get rid of the truth expose themselves for knowing the truth. They know it. That's why they want to kill it. And that reserved judgment is for all of those people unless they repent. In the book of Romans, in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, the Word of God reads, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done." Verse 7, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life." Verse 8, "But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." Now, I would ask that we all take a hard look at what the Lord is saying here and know that the true and living God means exactly what he says. So perhaps people should think about this when you say, "I am just doing my job." When that entails lying to citizens that you are supposed to protect and serve. People should really think about this when you're saying, "I'm just following this or that guidance." When that entails allowing people to suffer and die, knowing that they could have been saved. God knows. Think about it, so-called leaders. You're elected to office, supposed to serve the people, but instead, you serve yourselves or your father, the devil. You reject the truth so you can reap the rewards of men, storing up wrath for yourselves. And this is not any type of wrath. It's the wrath of God. Beware governors and lawless makers. You see them today? They have pity on the criminal, but persecute the people that are standing for truth and justice. Also, beware you wicked servants, false teachers, claiming to be following the true and living God, yet you follow everything that the man says. When man speaks, you jump. Rejecting the very truth that you claim to stand for. And not only are you in bed with the enemy, you birthed out many devils. That's you. And it's a shame. And none of us should be surprised. It's foretold, but it's still hard to witness, and it needs to be exposed. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Word of God reads, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with their deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." These are passages of scriptures that you rarely hear. And there's a reason why they don't say them. Because they will be referring to themselves. We have many debatable issues contained within the scriptures. But the debating regarding the hallmark of false teachers is not one of them. They may seem spiritual, but they will not escape this judgment and their destruction that does not slumber. God is watching. And they spring up from the church. You catch that, right? New revelations was told to them by God, supposedly, but those revelations go against the Word of God. Secret doctrines. Destructive, they are. Heresies. The Bible says many will follow. You know why? Because it fits their lifestyle. That's why. It's on par with what society is doing and what they agree with. How would it be a persecuted church if they're doing everything the world's doing? Think about it. These are the ones who claim to be enlightened. New word. And they are the main source of Christian cults. That's what happens. And in some way, shape, form, or fashion, they always reject and deny Jesus and blaspheme the truth. Jesus paid in full with his life, and they deny that power. They deny him by saying that Jesus is not the final word. or he's not the true and living God. Or how about this one? We need to bring in the kingdom for Jesus. Or they just deny him by kicking him out the church. That's what happens when you blaspheme the truth. There's a dark reason behind all of this. And I would like us to pay attention to the first part of verse 3 in 2 Peter chapter 2. It speaks volumes to me. The word of God again reads, beginning in the first part of verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Covetousness. Greed. Here is one of the main bottom lines. This is the driving factor behind all of the other factors. Greed. People want power because of greed. People want more than what they need because of greed. And in order to get there, they lie. And they stay there because they exploit the people with more deceptive words. And although this passage is speaking about these false teachers in the church, this is the same tactic that is used in the world. Because this tactic comes from the devil of the world. Are you following me here? It is critical that you do. Because with this as the backdrop, so to speak, speaking about greed being the bottom line, let's think on this most popular portion of scripture. It's captured in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 6. And verse 10, as the word of God reads, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money in of itself is not the problem. It's the love of money. That's the issue. And unfortunately, we have many people of faith, so they say, that love money. We have false teachers. Of course, you see them. They love money, just like much of the world. In love with money. All kinds of evil comes because of it. And you know what? This passage that we just read is actually not geared towards the rich. This is geared toward the poor and common people, like us. It was told to Timothy to address the congregation about this towards the common people, because in verse 17, the Apostle Paul speaks a message to be spoken directly to those who are rich. Now you think about that. This type of love, this love for money, only steals, kills, and destroys without mercy. Greed, power, and control are typically all influenced the same way by the love of money. From the lowest levels, common people, to the very rich, all who love money fall into this trap. And it makes perfect sense when you think about it. How can we have the entire globe operating one way if it was just the rich? All who love. And now I'm going to take a small detour. I call this the treasure hunt. Just to show some elements of greed that and how coordinated it is for power and control and high places, by the way, for the spiritual host of wickedness dwell, according to the scriptures. I'm going to be very vague. We are not to be kicked off YouTube. Real generic, but I pray you just get the point and witness how all this stuff is converging. Okay, now, everyone knows about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Right now, they're worth about $47 billion. Back in 2004, they purchased 9 shares in the big pharmaceutical companies. Okay? All right. Now, what? I didn't say nothing. Anyway, back then it was worth about $24 billion. And they had already been inside of the health care system, if you want. And they had spent almost, well, over half of $500 million. And that was back in 2000 alone. And it was geared towards poor nations. Fighting the AIDS epidemic was one of the things that they were championing themselves, trying to have cheaper medicine for those in nations, third world countries, did not have the resources that we may have here in America. So, they used to just invest in non-equity type investments, but now they listed 3 top pharmaceutical companies in this article. Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and then one that I was like, oh, well, maybe this is kind of legit. I haven't really heard about this company. They must be big, but I just don't know. It's called Merck & Company. Huh? What happened? Yeah, so I'm like, it is what it is. But today, should I say 3 days ago, this is the exact same company that is seeking FDA approval of a promising anti-COVID pill in order to treat COVID-19. I just find that so amazing. This is the real red pill. Now, this was just an excellent investment plan back in 2004. That's what it was, and it was a great plan. I mean, what can I say about it? I mean, I'm not jealous of it or anything, or envious. I'm just saying. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. This paints a picture for me. It's becoming all too clear. And he's not the only one that is involved in pharmaceutical or medical companies, but at a level where they're influencing what they do. Not just investing. This is some crazy stuff that is going, is mind-boggling. It's beyond bizarre. We spoke briefly about this last month. And this is an example of how the love of money can produce all kinds of evil. And this time, I want to read from the article. This shows you how far man will go. Quoting, scientists have successfully grown monkey embryos containing human cells for the first time, the latest milestone in a rapidly advancing field that has drawn ethical questions. But what is ethical? Right? Who chooses what's ethical? Continuing, in the work published on 15 April in Cell, the team injected monkey embryos with human stem cells and watched them develop. They observed human and monkey cells divide and grow together in a dish with at least three embryos surviving to 19 days after fertilization. The overall message is that every embryo contains human cells that proliferate and differentiate to a different extent, says Juan Carlos Belmont, a development biologist at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California, and one of the researchers who led the work, end quote. And our government gave this institute $41 million last year. Now, you could try this and say, oh, it's all about seeking out new technologies so we can grow organs and maybe human ears and everything else you want to put. But let me tell you something. This is wicked. This is wickedness. That's what happens when the love of money rules. People dream up wicked things to do, and then they attempt to call it good. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 38 and 39, the Word of God reads, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. What is being done in the name of science goes against what's been ordained by God. For the sake of science, evil, man knows no bounds. Scriptures are clear. Even about crossbreeding, the scriptures talk about. Mingling the seed. In our wickedness in this world, none of this is being taken into account because there's no fear of God. People don't realize that judgment's coming. And it also seems they don't even take consideration at the micro level what's happening. What else is this spawning up? While it may seem that man has prevailed over God's creation, at least in some part, by being able to manipulate portions of it, God's going to have the last word. And none of man's advanced, experimental, genetically modified, whatever it is that they think they've accomplished, it's not going to stand. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, in verse 13, the Word of God reads, but he answered, speaking of Jesus, and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Every last one of them. If God did not make it, it will be destroyed. There will be no foul, man-purposed, laboratory-generated anything. The Lord will finish it. All of it will be uprooted. I also find it interesting that many people equate the current pandemic to that of God's judgment. This is not God's judgment. This is man's ignorance. That's what we are witnessing. Allow me to show you from the scriptures just a fraction of what the wrath of the Lamb looks like. Everyone who has not truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will witness this if you're still alive. And if you happen to die in your sins, after the time that you lie in the abode of the dead in whatever chamber, the next time you awake to see God face to face will be at the great white throne judgment. Prior to your second death, called out in the scriptures. But let's just look at these judgments that are reserved for our Lord. In the book of Revelation, beginning at chapter 6 all the way to chapter 8, verse 1, we are told that the world will be deceived by this man who brings in a false peace. And then after this, war will break out like never seen before. And by the way, the church is removed. Inflation, like never seen before. Resources, scarce. The Bible speaks of a mass famine, like that has never been seen before. And we gotta pay attention, never seen before. What is that? We get glimpses from the scriptures, also through history. Think about it. But here, a famine on the likes that has never been seen before. And we talk about this in the book of Kings, chapter 6 and verse 24 through 30. The word of God tells us that there was two mothers, remember the story, that were so hungry, they agreed to eat each other's children. And this famine that the Lord will usher in, the Lord himself, will be worse than that. And then more wars. It makes sense because of the lack of resources. People are fighting for them. More death, more hunger. In fact, 1/4 of mankind is killed. And then those who begin to realize that the word of God was indeed true, the church was right, will be killed by the thousands. Earthquakes follow, along with cosmic disturbances. And then until chapter 11 and verse 19 begins with 1/3 of the earth's vegetation being destroyed, 1/3 of marine life and ships are destroyed. 1/3 of drinking water is poisoned. And the sun only gives 2/3 of her light. Demon locusts are released in order to torment men for 5 months. Not to kill them, though. Torment. And then 4 angels are released to kill another one-third of mankind. Then the real destructive judgments begin. Chapter 16 and verse 2, those who have taken the mark, riddled with sores. And today, it is really easy to see how people would take the mark. The system is in place. All been written about, movies made about it, but because of the love for this world, dying world, many will acquiesce. Evil is so loved, it is impossible for them to see the love of God. And we are reminded about this, captured in the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. The word of God reads, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." People are walking around deliberately with blinders on. Rejecting God, not considering the judgment that they will face. And these judgments continue. Next, the sea is turned into blood and all marine life is killed. Then, fresh water becomes blood. Now think about this. It's like for those who did not choose the blood of the Lamb are now forced with only having blood to drink. What about the smell? What kind of mask will they be wearing then? Then the fourth angel pours out his bowl, and the sun scorches man with fire. And this is not some rise in temperature to try to prove that global warming is a thing. This is not what this is. This is the sun burning people, skin sizzling. I saw a movie once, I think it was The Chronicle of Riddick. And they had a scene where they were like, they had to beat the sun and be in the shade or something. And when they went out there, whatever, even for a second, I can only imagine something to that degree. Horrible. After this scorching of the sun, we're told that the beast's kingdom is darkened and the people gnaw at their teeth because of the pain. Reminds us of the ninth plague in Egypt. And this is complete darkness. Complete darkness. Perhaps the temperature dropped so rapidly, now they're freezing. Just conjecture, but it's possible. The river Euphrates is then dried up. Evil spirits are released. They bring the nations together to war against the true living God, setting the stage for the final battle known as Armageddon, where the Lamb of God consumes all with the brightness of his coming. This is God's wrath. The allowance of things going on today does not equate to what people are going to witness if they choose to continue to rebel against the true and living God. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. I want to end with scripture. The word of God reads, "Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains." Verse 8. "Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations." Verse 9. "My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. You will know them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes." All of this is going to happen. The Lord is going to judge, and everyone has an opportunity not to face his wrath. And again, this is a tough topic to talk about. And we have to remember that it's not God's judgment that draws people near to him. It's not. The Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And we as Christians need to be showing that goodness of God, allowing our lights to shine brighter as the world gets darker, and not acquiesce to the world. However, sometimes it's the judgment of God that brings his goodness in remembrance. If you don't want that, seek the good. That would be a wise choice, in my opinion. Why would anyone want to go through any of this? The bottom line is, turn from your wicked ways and live, and turn to the true and living God, Jesus the Christ. Why don't we stand so we can pray? Oh Lord, eternal Father, all tough stuff. We all need to hear it. And with the time that we have left, I pray, Lord, that we would just do your perfect will that you have for each of us. Not be ashamed. Go forward, lighting this dark world, knowing that the time is short and your judgment is nigh. Give us the strength by the power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint us anew. Make us bold soldiers, holding your word to that level which you charge us to, being faithful servants and witnesses until you take us home. So be with us now and forevermore. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen.